From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Monday, August 25th. Coming up, class is back in session at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and a new chancellor is on campus. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Governor J.B. Pritzker is accusing President Trump of trying to manufacture a crisis in Chicago. On Friday, the president said he may deploy troops to the city in an effort to control crime, homelessness, and illegal immigration there. In a statement over the weekend, the governor said there is no emergency that warrants the president deploying the National Guard or active duty military to Chicago. Trump said major cities could receive a similar treatment to Washington, D.C., where 2,000 troops have been deployed. The president called Chicago a mess and claimed residents are, quote, screaming for us to come. But Chicago officials have condemned Trump's threats and emphasized that the data shows the city has seen recent drops in violent crime. Governor Pritzker said the state has not received any requests or messages from the federal government asking if officials need assistance, and the state has not requested a federal intervention. The University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign's new chancellor, Charles Isbell, says he's thrilled about the state's investment in building a quantum computing research park in Chicago. The U of I is partnering with the state, which has set aside $500 million for the project. Isbell says it's one of the most exciting things happening in the country.
That investment by the state is an amazing sort of commitment to the idea that if we work together, we can change something. But also without it, it takes 10, 20, 30, 40 years to get to where we want to go, where we might be able to do that within the decade.
Isbell expects the Illinois Quantum and Microelectronics Park will become a center of economic activity and innovation. He started as chancellor at the beginning of the month, and the U of I's fall semester starts today. 12 states will soon be able to exclude certain junk foods from purchases using the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, including Indiana. Harvest Public Media's Anna Pope reports this means grocers will have to accommodate the rules.
Approved changes will remove candy and soda from eligible SNAP purchases, but there are some differences in each state's definition. Some grocers will have to update their point-of-sale systems. Jeff Klaus is general manager at Retail Data Systems, the largest independent point-of-sale dealer in North America. He says it's currently unclear who will be vetting the products.
We can give recommendations, but let's just go out on a limb here and say, I accidentally forget to fix Snickers bars, and now somebody buys Snickers bars with SNAP. Whose fault is that? Is it mine? Is it the retailer?
His company is waiting for state guidance, but Klaus expects the changes will take a long time to sort out. I'm Anna Pope, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. News media are now explicitly protected by a 2007 law aimed at stopping frivolous lawsuits that curtail participation in government. Capital News Illinois reports Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a measure on Thursday that was spurred by a lawsuit against the Chicago Sun-Times. The Supreme Court in November ruled that the paper's reporting on a former government official was not protected because it was not investigative in nature or seeking government action. The law now states any news reporting is, quote, participating and communicating with the government, meaning it is now protected. Still to come, class is back in session at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and a new chancellor is on campus. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for sunny skies with a high of 73 degrees and a northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies with a low of 47 degrees, northwest wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 74 degrees, northwest wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear skies with a low of 48 degrees, northwest wind 5 miles per hour. And for Wednesday, sunny with a high of 77 degrees and west wind 5 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, college is back in session across Illinois. We'll hear how the new chancellor of Illinois' flagship university, Charles Isbell, is approaching his job.
I really like the idea that I'm a part of history, that I'm a part of a story that has been going on for centuries.
I'm Brian Mackey. That plus the future of late night TV. Next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Classes resume today at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign with a new leader at the helm. Charles Isbell is a computer scientist who was provost at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. IPM's Emily Hayes spoke with the new chancellor about how he's settling into the new role and the Trump administration's attacks on higher education.
It's been a few weeks since you officially took over the leadership of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign on August 1st. What is something you've learned in this time that you didn't expect?
This place is as advertised. It really does care about its mission. It really is truly interdisciplinary. The people here understand that what they're doing is important and they think very carefully about what they do. I think that's what I hoped I would see. It's what I knew from my own time visiting here over the years, but it's been really gratifying as I've gotten to meet more and more folks and to really sort of understand that they care so much about this place and understand that what they do is important.
It looks like you've settled into your new office. What's something you brought with you?
I have over there a picture of my academic ancestry. Every single, my advisors, going back at least to the 1300s, Galileo's in there, Copernicus is in there. That I really like the idea that I'm a part of history, that I'm a part of a story that has been going on for centuries and hopefully will go on centuries after. And along with that picture of all of my ancestors, I have all of my descendants, all of my PhD students, the folks that I've worked with over the years. And I look up every day and I see the people that I've been able to be a part of, and I get to know that I helped them along in their journey.
President Trump has targeted the University of Virginia and the University of Southern California, and not just Ivy League schools. Have you heard from the Department of Education? Are you preparing for them to potentially cut even more federal funds in an effort to end diversity, equity, and inclusion practices here?
There's a couple ways to think about that. And the way that I think about it is I am assuming that we will eventually find ourselves a target, as is everyone in higher ed. Concentrated and thoughtful attack on higher ed. I use the word attack on purpose. I think that this is a conversation that the federal government is trying to force between us and everyone else about what the purpose of universities are, and particularly what the purpose of large research universities are. So we are going to be a part of that conversation, whether we are personally asked to do something or personally targeted. We've already seen some effects of what's happened over the last several months. I had one of my grants ended from work that I was doing before I got here. I expect that we will see more of that.
So this is a question from the Graduate Students Organization. What would happen to employees if their work funded by federal grants is cut? Would U of I step in to pay their wages?
Well, we would do the best that we can. I can't make promises about that because I don't know what the scale is going to be. I don't know the specific mechanisms by which different students are being paid. And we're talking about two different questions. Hidden in there, I think, are two different questions. One is, what's going to happen this semester? And what's going to happen 2 or 3 years from now? And what we're trying to figure out, and this is, I mean, I think you hear this theme over and over again, that this is a big transition period for all of higher ed and all the people who are affected by it. Are we talking about a fundamental restructuring of how we think about supporting graduate students, how we think about supporting faculty, how we do research, how we educate? Or are we thinking about something that is going to be very sudden and kinetic and then change 6 months after that? And we just do not know. So we are preparing. We have already done work before I got here. There's been a lot of work done in trying to build up and save funds for transitions for people to sort of help them get through. There's been a lot of talk and conversation about how do we help people move from one area of research to a different area of research. I mean, you know, if we think about this in the larger scheme of things, changes like this have happened always. They just normally take longer. Right, there are 2 years of transitions. People have an easier time of thinking about how to do things differently. This has been moving at an unprecedented breakneck speed. And that is part of what makes it difficult, is having to turn on a dime and think about how to do something on the scale of a few weeks in the middle of a semester, as opposed to, well, we need to plan strategically about this over the next couple of years. And a lot of the job here, and it's difficult because these things are real and immediate, but a lot of our job here is to think about how to turn this moment of very rapid change into a conversation about where we're going to be in a couple of years. So we're going to do the best that we can. We've already cut some things. We are We're trying not to grow, except in the areas where we absolutely are going to have to over the short term, so that we can help sort of buffer that through. So again, I'm not going to sit here and say, yes, we will cover everything, or say, no, we're going to cover nothing. We're going to do the best that we can to support the work and to support the people who are a part of our mission.
I've been talking with U of I's new Chancellor, Charles Isbell. I'm Emily Hayes with IPM News.
You can hear the full conversation today on the 21st show at 11 a.m. on WILL AM 580 and tonight at 6 p.m. on WILL FM 90.9. A video version will also release on WILL TV and YouTube in the coming weeks. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Anna Pope, Emily Hayes, The Associated Press, and Capital News Illinois. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.